Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to join in the conversation this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Or if you prefer, the local line is 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933. And if you got a question, like I said, about current events in light of the Bible or about the Bible itself, you can give us a call. Our phone lines are open, and let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air once more. Just pray that you bless, use the program tonight for your glory, for your purposes, Lord. Help us to point people to Christ through the things that we talk about, and we just pray that you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it turned out to be a rather eventful, week again this past week. And I think I'm going to start off before I get to some of the things that are happening in the world, something that's happening out of the world. If you had a chance to see the moon last night, the full moon, and they call it the full buck moon, I think, is the one they're calling it this time. They come up with these names for different hunter's moon and buck moon and things like that. But at any rate, it's also called a super moon because the moon is right now at one of its closest passes to the Earth. And I think I heard somebody saying the other day that if you were able to discern the difference, it's about 10% larger in size. And if you get a chance to see it this evening, if you're in an area where the clouds part enough, it's still pretty big tonight. I mean, it's just a hair past full moon tonight. And it's really amazing when you look at it. And what's kind of amazing is when it first comes up, the moon, if you ever notice, looks huge. And then when it's straight overhead, it looks so much smaller. It's not that the moon's getting closer and then going away or growing and then shrinking. It's an optical illusion. If you hold your hand out in front of you, make a fist and stick your thumb up and hold your thumb so that your thumbnail's next to the moon, and do that when it's on the horizon, and then later on when it's up in the sky higher and it looks visibly so much smaller, do the same thing. Hold your fist out at arm's length, stick your thumb up so you can kind of have your thumbnail next to the moon, and you will be amazed. It's the exact same size. It's purely an optical illusion. When the moon's close to the horizon, you see trees, you see buildings and stuff, and your mind interprets the moon as being much bigger. But when it's way up in the sky and the only thing around it are some clouds or stars, your mind does not have a frame of reference. I always wondered how people say, yeah, I saw an airplane going by. It was at 1,200 feet, and it was going at 332 miles an hour. I don't have that gift. It's hard to say what it's doing when you don't have a visible reference frame. And that's why the moon looks bigger when it's closer to the ground. But right now it is actually measurably somewhat bigger because it is somewhat closer to the Earth. And the next full moon, next couple of full moons will be further away. Well, getting back down to earth here, certainly it was a beautiful day today, a little bit of rain at times, but the parts where it didn't rain was pretty nice, and so I can't complain too much about that. It'd be a couple of months we'll be worrying about cold weather starting to come, but right now they are having record-setting cold in the southern hemisphere. In parts of Australia, they're setting cold records or coldest temperatures in over 100 years. It's winter in the southern hemisphere, and they're setting some of the coldest records record temperatures ever recorded in Antarctica. And I was joking with somebody the other day. I said, yep, if it keeps this up, it'll definitely be, they'll be saying ice age is coming. And everybody's crazy to say that it's not coming. And everybody will forget that they told us that global warming was happening. And the reason I say that is because when I was in high school in the 70s, the ice age was coming. The ice age was coming, and it's probably too late to stop it. We need to stop driving cars, and we need to raise the taxes. And then when the ice age didn't come, it changed the global warming, and everybody forgot that we said the ice age was coming. And so my prediction is it's the ice age is going to be coming before if it keeps this up. At any rate, you're listening, as I said, to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And just to talk about a couple of those things first before we get into things that are happening in the world today. But again, if you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. Things in the world, the Middle East in particular, really heating up these past couple of weeks. And I try not to talk about it every week, but we certainly see things just at an alarming rate. They now say that every part of Israel is within range of Hamas's rockets. They've been raining missiles, rocket attacks on Israel for days now, hundreds and hundreds of rocket attacks. And I saw that there's thousands of people rioting in Paris right now, I guess earlier today or time difference. I think it's about 6 hours behind us, but there was rioting in Paris. And they were rioting against Israel and their attacks on Hamas. And I thought, well, where's the riots against Hamas's attacks on Israel? And Paris is ahead. I think I said behind. It's ahead of us, about 6 hours ahead of us. But you know, where are the rallies calling on Hamas to stop shooting rockets? The prime minister of Israel said there's a very simple way for a ceasefire there. It's for Hamas to stop shooting rockets at them. And they're dropping them all, trying to drop them all over Israel. They targeted Israel's nuclear reactor, and the rockets were ineffective. They weren't able to hit it. And they've also had rockets coming down on Jerusalem. And Israel's Iron Dome missile system has been remarkably effective. It doesn't shoot down every missile because it's able to calculate that some missiles are going to land in areas that won't cause any harm, and so it ignores them. But one of the things you look at this, when you look at it from a Bible perspective, there's a variety of things that we could talk about. But one of the things we've talked about in this program quite a bit is how could they rebuild the temple on the Temple Mount? We have problems with the Dome of the Rock there and the Al-Aqsa Mosque that's on the Dome of the, on the Temple Mount. And there's some indication that you should be able to build the temple in alongside of the Dome of the Rock, but there's also a body of thought that suggests that the Dome of the Rock is on the exact site of where the temple needs to be rebuilt. And if that's the case, that would certainly present a problem. How could you rebuild the temple without removing the Dome of the Rock? Well, here we've got Hamas shooting missiles that are raining down in Jerusalem. And what would happen if one of Hamas's missiles hit on the Dome of the Rock and destroyed it? Well, first thing they would say, well, they would blame Israel for not shooting the missile down with the Iron Dome system. And then they would say that if that didn't work, then they would try to say, well, Israel blew it up under the cover of the missile attack. And they'd find a way to blame Israel, and that's what happened. But we do know that something is going to happen where the Dome of the Rock is either going to be destroyed and the third temple built there, or the third temple is going to be built in an open space alongside of the Dome of the Rock. And I'm not 100% sure which location is it. Personally, right now, I lean to the open area alongside the Dome of the Rock because I saw a picture one time where they showed looking from the Mount of Olives through the Eastern Gate. The Mount of Olives is on the east of Jerusalem. And looking through the Eastern Gate, which would mean you're looking due west, you were supposed to be able to look from the Mount of Olives through the Eastern Gate. And if the doors of the temple were open, you would have been able to see all the way into the holy place. And then if the curtain was drawn back to the Holy of Holies, you would have been able to see all the way in. Of course, the Holy of Holies was always closed off by the veil until it was rent in two when Jesus gave his life for us on the cross. But if that's the case, then it would strongly suggest that the location for the third temple should be next to the Dome of the Rock, because that would appear to line up with the Eastern Gate so that you could look straight in that configuration. But in this kind of a conflict, though, anything could happen. And it could be that we might see something that would happen that would clear out any buildings that might preclude the rebuilding of the temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. So certainly pray for the peace of the Middle East, the Bible says. God has a plan yet. But here's something else that in a roundabout way that's been happening that I believe is also indicating some things that we've talked about on this program in Scripture. We've talked about in Ezekiel chapter 38, the Bible has a list of a coalition that lines up to invade Israel following what I believe will be Russia. And in Ezekiel 38, the Bible says here in Ezekiel 38, chapter 1, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth in all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. Now it goes on to talk about how they invade Israel. And I'll go through some of these names real quick here because I want to get down to the last named group there, Gomer and Togarma. But when you look at this right here, it would appear that the first group there, which is Meshach, Gog, Magog, Meshach, and Tubal, would represent Russia and that part of the world, the Ukraine, and some of those areas there. Some of the areas, if you're old enough to remember the old Soviet Union, I think that Gog, Magog, Meshach, and Tubal would appear to represent, but not necessarily be limited to places such as the Ukraine, the Central Asian Republic of Georgia, Kazakhstan, and they would be led by Russia. And I can come back to that later, or if somebody calls and wants to talk about that more, we can deal more with that. But the second group in verse 5 is Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya. And of them, they're pretty straightforward as well. Persia is certainly the ancient name for the modern state of Iran, and that name was commonly used up until 1935. If you were to get a hold of an old map, maybe a map that was produced, say, in the late 30s or even early 40s, you would see Iran on there with the word Persia or the name Persia in parentheses underneath that. Prior to 1935, you would simply see the name Persia there instead of Iran. And so that's pretty easy to understand. And then, of course, Ethiopia. Ethiopia would have been the area south of Egypt, and that would include today a number of places, not just Ethiopia, but also that would include places like the Sudan and Djibouti and Eritrea and Somalia, places like that. And then there's Libya. And Libya, likewise, would be a much larger area on the map than what we would see today. It would include, obviously, Libya today, but also places like Tunisia, Algeria, and Morocco, going west of Egypt along the North African coastline there, the south side of the Mediterranean Sea. And so that gives us that group, but here we come down to Gomer and to Garma. And we have these ones here. Gomer kind of represents a large group of people that initially settled in the area of modern-day Turkey. And their descendants, Gomer's descendants, spread northwest into Central and Eastern Europe. And some of them spread further throughout Europe. And one of the areas that they tended to dominate and hold on to was the area of Germany. So some people have identified Germany with Gomer. And then Togarma, Togarma was a son of Gomer in Genesis chapter 10 in the table of nations there. And Togarma and his descendants tended to stay closer to the area of Turkey and Armenia and Azerbaijan and places like that. And so that would probably be that area there. But looking at Germany again as descendants of Gomer, the question would be, why would Germany be following Russia as opposed to following, say, France and, you know, being in league with France and, say, Great Britain? And France and Great Britain, by the way, would be identified partly with the merchants of Tarshish in Ezekiel 38 that are in opposition to this invasion of Israel. And you're introduced to them down in verse number 13, where they oppose that. And I'm not going to get into them right at the moment. But why would Germany be associated with Russia? Some interesting developments in Europe this past week that could possibly give an explanation which might cause Germany to identify more with Russia. And, of course, Russia right now is sponsoring unrest in the Ukraine. I think eventually they want to absorb all of the Ukraine into Russia like they had it under the Soviet Union. Vladimir Putin, who was certainly a very influential person during the Cold War time as a KGB colonel, I think he has designs of resurrecting the old Soviet Empire under the guise of Russian nationalism, and I think Ukraine is part of his target. But Germany, which used to have a lot of nuclear power, after the Japanese tsunami that destroyed the, was it the Fukushima reactor, I believe it was, and the problems that they had there, the Germans overreacted, and they simply shut down all of their nuclear power industry. Now, Germany has a problem. They have an energy problem. And so they've been trying to switch over in many respects to natural gas to generate electricity. And their primary source of natural gas has been Russia. Russia is a huge exporter of natural gas. But there's a problem. A number of countries, including the United States, have been using fracking more. Now, fracking is a process that actually has been going on since, I think, the 40s or something like that. It's not new, although they've improved it and they've developed the ability to send a drill down vertically and then expand out horizontally and cover a wider area. And so all of a sudden, people are opposed to fracking. And there's never been a documented case where fracking can be absolutely determined to be the cause of some problem. I won't get into that right now. But the thing of it is, in Germany, being dependent on natural gas, primarily from Russia, some of the European nations are starting to move and use fracking more. Great Britain, for instance, found some natural gas reserves. I believe it's under the Irish Sea. And they said that there's enough reserves there that they can supply all of Great Britain's need for natural gas and export it. And I believe France has discovered some off the coast of Brittany and things like that. And the long story is, a number of European countries are discovering large sources of natural gas that fracking makes available to them. And the Germans are saying no to fracking more and more. Now, why would they be doing that? Well, just like in the days of the old Soviet Union and the days of the old KGB, the Soviets' secret intelligence force, they are, I guess, whatever you call it, administration, bureau, whatever you want to call it. During the Cold War, all the major peace groups in North America and Europe were either directly or indirectly controlled and funded by the Soviet Union through the KGB. They controlled these groups. Most people in the groups didn't know it, but they did. And so they would influence these groups. They would tell them what to say, and they would believe it. And they were doing this to try and keep, especially during the 1980s, to keep President Reagan from putting nuclear warheads on cruise missiles in Germany and in Britain. And some of those things are what helped in the Cold War and led to the demise of the Soviet Union. Well, now, surprise, 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 Vladimir Putin, who was big in the KGB during the Cold War when they were controlling the peace groups around the world, the international peace groups, well, the peace groups went green. A lot of the people involved in those peace groups became the environmentalists and the extreme environmentalists. And guess what? Guess who's funding and controlling the anti-fracking movement worldwide? It's our old friends, the Russians, and our old friend, the KGB master, Vladimir Putin. And why would they do that? Well, the Russia has been fracking for decades. They've been fracking for a long time. They have imported the Western innovation of drilling laterally under the ground, and they're developing their own gas resources. Russia gets a lot of money brought into Russia by selling and exporting natural gas. If Germany starts developing their own natural gas or buys it from France or Great Britain, they don't need to buy it from Russia. But here we have Germany saying no to fracking more and more, trying to pass legislation banning it, and they just booted out our CIA station chief. Relations between the United States and Germany seem to be deteriorating. And guess what? They seem to be warming up to the Soviet Union, and they're becoming dependent on them. Could that be a possibility that would drive Germany from the European orbit, NATO and United States and Britain and France, the merchants of Tarshish, and into the orbit of the Soviet Union, Gog and Magog? Just a thought, but it is interesting to see how that's working out. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we've got a couple of callers here, and it looks like Jeremiah was first. So, Jeremiah, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
How you doing, Pastor?
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
I said, how you doing, Pastor?
Very good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. I'd like to talk about the Bible.
Yes, sir.
You know, the Word of God is really the truth.
Amen.
You know, it is the truth because if you think about it, Israel has been around for 1,000 years. I mean, the whole Israel. So they turned into a state in 1948.
Well, it's actually been around a lot longer than 1,000 years, but...
Well, it's been around for a very long time.
Yeah.
It says in the Bible.
Yeah. Because I think Solomon is, I want to guess, was about 1,000, I think about 1,000 B.C. was when Solomon was king.
And all these prophecies are supposed to happen, it says in the Bible.
Right.
And the end of the world and the end times. And the Word of God is really, it's the truth. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's really the truth. Some people don't want to realize that. Some people don't want to recognize that and see that all these things are... supposed to happen.
Right. Jesus told about the Bible being truth. Thy word is truth. And we see that. And when we see things taking place, it's just like, who would have written a document 2,000 years ago, actually. And if you look at Jeremiah, probably close to 3,000 years ago, that would say that Israel would cease to become a nation and then become a nation later on. And that it would become a stumbling stone to the other nations of the world. And we see those things happening in the world today. And that underlines the truth of the Bible.
Yeah, it's kind of, we are living in the end times. I mean,
I really believe so. But that's why we need to uphold the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, the Bible says, by hearing the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I had started to mention there where Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So we need to study the Bible. People say, well, it's an old, outdated book. What has it got to do with today? And it's amazing just what I was talking about earlier in Ezekiel chapter 38, how you can see those nations that were predicted by Ezekiel. And of course, it was God giving him the vision. And those nations are coming together today. So that's amazing. It really is.
Revelation is kind of a hard book to understand.
But if you take your time to read it, the Bible says at the beginning of the book of Revelation that God promises a special blessing to those that read it, those that hear it, and those that practice it. So it's a book that God wants us to put some time into. People think it's too hard and they ignore it and they turn away from it. But there's a lot in there. Some of it's easy. Some of it's easier, some of it's more difficult, some of it's very difficult. But if you take the time to start breaking it down, you begin to see some things. And one of the easiest ways is to realize that part of it applies to conditions that have existed. And let me give you the key verse in Revelation. And when somebody understands this, Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 19, it says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." And we'll have to end it there. We're out of time on this segment. We'll join us again after the break.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral at maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. It's a toll-free number. Get you on the air here right away. If you prefer, you could give a call on our local number, 216-901-0933. That's also available, 216-901-0933. And before we get back to our telephone calls here tonight, I just also mentioned not only are we brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, certainly invite you to visit us there, but we're also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is the home of the homemade pizza. They've got calzone, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps. They've got Lebanese food and a whole lot more. You can find East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza. Pick up or delivery 216-341-9100 in Garfield Heights, right across from the high school. Also, if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, contact Gus at East Coast Pizza. He can help you get set up for a whole lot less than what you might think possible, and he'll help you. He'll get you set up. He'll get you going with his dough recipe, his sauce recipe. It's unique, and he'll give you the training and get you set up there in the pizza business. Call East Coast Pizza. Ask for Gus at 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program. If you've got a call or a question about the Bible or current events, you can give us a call in 888-677-9673, and got a few people on the board right now, and let me just finish up what I was talking with Jeremiah about at the end of the last segment there before the break. We were talking about Revelation, and I said that the key to Revelation was found in Revelation chapter 1 in verse number 19, where John writes what Jesus told him to write. Jesus says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." Now, here's the secret of the key here. Revelation 1 verse 19 unlocks the rest of the book. The things which thou hast seen, that's the things which occur in Revelation chapter 1. Then the things which are, that's Revelation chapter 2 through 3. The things which shall be hereafter, that's the rest of the book, chapter 4 through verse 22, the end of the book. And you say, well, what kind of a key is that? Well, when you understand that, you realize that the mystery of the golden candlesticks and all this that you see in chapter 1, that's what John saw. And so he was to write about that. I don't have time to explain all of that right now. But then when he says the things which are, he's talking about this dispensation that we're in right now, which some call the church age, or better called the age of grace. If you follow the seven churches that are written to in chapters 2 and 3, you see letters to actual churches that existed when John was here. But those seven churches and the order in which they're written to, I believe, is a prophetic look at the development of churches and Christianity and issues affecting Christianity during different periods, leading from the time that John is writing this, the things which are, until the time where Jesus returns to take the believers out of the world. And so he's writing about the time in which John was in, the age of grace or dispensation of grace. And then the things which shall be hereafter starts in chapter 4, where we begin to see not things that happened in the past, but future things, future events discussed, events that will happen after this dispensation closes that we're in now, during the time of the tribulation, then the millennial reign of Christ after that, and then the eternal state after that. So I'm sorry, I don't really have time with the constraints. Go ahead.
I have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
What is the longest chapter in the book of Psalms?
Psalm 119. I don't know all the details on that. It's kind of interesting that it's two chapters away from the shortest book, which is Psalm 117. But Psalm 119 is an acrostic in the Hebrew. And if you were able to read it in the Hebrew Masoretic text, you would find that each one of those stanzas in Psalm 119 follows a word in the Hebrew alphabet. And probably that's why it's that long, so that they could have something for each word.
Okay.
And so that's probably where that's at. But it's a tremendous psalm to study. There's a lot of meat in that psalm.
Your radio broadcast is a blessing to each
Well, thank
and
you. Appreciate your call, and calls like yours are a blessing as well.
Talk to you next week.
All right. Well, thank you for your call. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. Tim has been patiently waiting. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hello, Pastor Al. I just called to say thank you and God bless you to you and John Lutz and all the others responsible for helping out Bruce Musselman. What a treasure he is, and we couldn't have him if you guys wouldn't do that for him.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And for people who may not have heard of Bruce Musselman, Bruce Musselman hosts a program on this station on Thursdays from 3 till 4 called Where is God's Word? And I've actually been helping him out with that and trying to give him a little assistance. Pray for Brother Bruce. He is a tremendous resource. He's got some health issues, but he is serving God. He's doing a wonderful job, and it's amazing. I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning half the time, but he could probably tell you what Eusebius had for breakfast in the year 314 A.D. It's amazing. He's got an encyclopedic memory church history and issues relating to the development of our Bible and things of that nature. And if you've got questions about how we got our Bible or church history or something, I would encourage you to tune into Where is God's Word every Thursday afternoon 3 to 4 on this station, AM 1220. And so I appreciate you mentioning that, Tim.
Yeah, that's all I got. God bless you for doing it. Thank you.
Hey, well, thanks for waiting to be able to tell us that. I appreciate that. God bless.
Bye.
Thank you. And, of course, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. And I believe we have Ricardo up next. Ricardo, welcome.
Hi, Pastor. How are you?
Hi, good evening.
Yeah, I actually spoke with you last week.
Yes, sir. I remember that. We had a conversation about aliens and UFOs in light of God's word. And in fact, I'll give you your question in just a minute, but I was going to say, I actually have that conversation on our website. I kind of separated it out from the regular program if somebody wants to listen to that, because you brought up some good questions. So that's actually available at our website, live.maplenoll.us. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out, and hopefully we can revisit that, because I did have a couple questions on that.
Oh, certainly.
So, but tonight I was thinking about Joshua. I apologize for not being prepared, but I know it's a scripture or somewhere in there where you talk about he was in this battle, and for some reason he needed more time.
Right.
So I don't know if he asked or if he prayed to God for more time. And I don't remember exactly how scripture goes, but about how the sun stopped moving or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember asking a pastor at a younger age about this, and she kind of said that, well, maybe it was the time of the year, it was a longer day, or this, that, and the other. She wasn't really necessarily signing off on that's exactly what happened. And I always felt that, well, if that's what the scripture says, then that's how it happened. And I was just wondering your view on that.
Right. Let's take a look at it here. Let me find the, it's in the book of Joshua here, and I'm seeing if I can find it here right away. And I have heard people say that, well, here it is, Joshua chapter 10, I believe. And people say, well, it just was a long day. And you know how some days in the summer, for instance, June 21st in the Northern Hemisphere is the longest day of the year. But here's something people don't realize. Somebody that would say, well, it must have just been a real long day, like June 21st, they must have lived further away from the equator. The closer you are to the equator, the less difference there is in the days. My wife and I started a church in the Samoan Islands back in the 90s. And let me tell you, June, well, actually we were below the equator, but the longest day of the year and the shortest day of the year couldn't have been more than about an hour's worth of difference between the two. And then where I was stationed in England, I was stationed about 60 miles north of London, England, when I was in the Air Force and in the 1980s. And I can remember, you know, the shortest day of the year versus the longest day of the year. I worked in a building that was all sealed up, no windows or anything. And in the shortest day of the year, in the wintertime, I would literally go into the building in the morning and the sun had not come up yet. And by the time I would leave the building, the sun would have already been up and set. And I would never see the daylight for about a week unless I went out of the building during the day. And then the shortest time of the year was just the opposite. I would go home and the sun would still be out, it'd still be bright, and I would go to bed. I would get up in the morning, and during the course of the night, the sun would have gone down and risen again. And just a few hours later, the sun would be up again, and so I would never see the nighttime. Unless for whatever reason I stayed up late. So quite a big difference the further you are from the equator. But here's what happened in Joshua chapter 10. Joshua is in this battle against, against Adonizedek, the king of Jerusalem. And Joshua had taken Ai, and let me see where we're at here. I already come down here a little bit further here in the chapter. Let's see, verse number 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? And notice what it says here at the end of verse 13. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Now think about this for a minute. You can't just stop the rotation of the earth. Right. See, the definition of a miracle is a suspension of natural laws and processes. And if you were to just, if God was to reach out and grab a hold of the earth and stop it, what would happen? All of the wind would keep moving. You know, it would keep going because of the momentum, the inertia in the wind. You'd have these, you know, horrendous hurricane, mega hurricane force winds that would be ripping up trees and blowing buildings down all over the place. Not only that, if you were to take a bucket of water and start spinning it, you could spin that bucket and go up over your head and the water doesn't come out. But if you stop that bucket over top of your head, that water's going to come out. And it's all going to slosh out and it's going to come pouring down on top of you. If the earth was suddenly stopped spinning, all of the oceans would leap out of their basins and wash up over the continents. It would be horrendous. You know, the worst tidal wave that you could imagine would be nothing compared to what you would see. So obviously, for this to happen, it had to be a miracle, and a greater miracle than what people think when they see this. It's recorded in the Bible, and the Bible says there was no day like that before it or after it, and the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down for about a whole day. Not only did the earth have to stand still in its rotation, the sun had to stop moving. The other planets in the sky, I would maintain, as well as the other stars in the heavens, would have all had to stop. It's as if God intervened and froze everything in position. And what makes this so absolutely incredible is we are now, the earth is moving at about 19 miles per second around the sun. That's a pretty fast pace. And that doesn't account for the spin of the earth, one rotation in 24 hours. And the sun itself is moving at about 13 miles per second around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. That's a lot of stuff to stop at one time. Well, how could that be done short of a miracle? There's absolutely no physical explanation for that. You cannot make a natural explanation for that. And so if you don't believe in miracles, you have to simply say it didn't happen. And I would say if God recorded it and the Bible is God's word and its truth, I accept that God can work a miracle. If God created the heaven and the earth, he can freeze everything in one spot if he chose to. And it would appear that he chose to. Interestingly enough, when King Hezekiah prayed at one point, God actually reverse the rotation of the earth, which would have been like winding a clock backwards. The sun, the moon, the stars, everything would have had to wound backwards in order to keep everything in sync. And so that's even more, not only stopping, but actually going backwards. And again, nothing short of a miracle. And certainly for God to be born and incarnated in a human body, that's a miracle. And, you know, I mean, we look at it, the Bible has miracles in it. And if we accept miracles, we don't want to put a limit on God just because we say, well, this miracle's, I can accept this miracle. It's not too big. But that miracle, that's too big. I can't accept that. No, I would maintain that the miracle of the incarnation was even a greater miracle than the stopping of the movement of the universe so that Joshua continued to fight this battle, or reversing the movement of the universe. And so that Hezekiah could see the shadow on the sundial go backwards, I think it was 3 degrees. And so that miracle, I don't think, is as big as the miracle of God himself, a perfect, holy, righteous God, putting himself in human flesh and then living amongst sinful men and then allowing himself to be crucified so that he could pay for our sins with his own blood on the cross. That's a greater miracle, the cross and all that that represents.
Than these things.
Yes, amen. And and once we're going to reject one miracle, then where do you stop? So, but
hey, thank you for your time, man.
Well, thank you for the question. That was a good question. That's a question I don't think I've been asked before. So that's a good one. I appreciate that tonight.
Thank you very much. I'll catch you next time.
Okay, hope to hear from you again. God bless. All right, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here tonight. And we have Joyce calling in. Joyce, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you, Pastor Al.
Hi, thank you for waiting.
Yes, you know, I was just thinking as you were talking to the previous caller, and both John Hagee and Mark Blitz have about those miracles in their book on blood moons to prove, just to show that God is in control.
Oh, absolutely. And it really is amazing when you see some of the things. And it shouldn't be any wonder, because the Bible says that the moon and the stars and all were put there for signs and seasons.
And it's amazing in this time that we live. I am so excited. And I was reading Lamb and Lion. David Reagan has a really excellent article. And he gives about 9 different wars that he believes will happen between now and, the end.
Right. You said that's David Reagan, Lamb and Lion?
Yes.
I'll have to look that up. That would be interesting.
Look it up. It's really good. Mm-hmm. He starts the first war. Is the war of extermination of Psalms 83.
Right, and that's what I believe that too.
Yes, and I was wondering, you know, what you thought about, you know, what's going on now, because he says that in Bill Salas' book, he says the next war is Psalm 83 between Israel and its neighbors.
Right.
And then, see, what he says is, this, of course, Israel will win these wars, and then she will expand her land.
Right.
By getting that land, and they mm-hmm. will be
almost like a superpower.
That,
right.
So what they will do is call on Russia to help them deal with Israel. And then he says that is the first Gog and Magog war there.
Yeah. Let me just back up here a little bit to get back to the Psalm 83.
Okay.
And let me just touch on something with that. In Ezekiel chapter 38, mm-hmm. you'll notice that Egypt is not mentioned there. I was talking with a previous caller about that. Egypt is not mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
The area that would include, Lebanon is not mentioned. Syria is not mentioned. And the areas that would include... what we would, in Bible days, would have been Ammon, Moab, and Edom, or Idumea, as well as Amalek and Philistia. They're not mentioned. Philistia would correspond to the Gaza Strip. Ammon, Moab, and Edom would correspond to Jordan today. And
would be Israel's inner neighbor. That's
right. See, those are the neighbors, the inner neighbors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they are not included at all in the Ezekiel 38. And those are the ones that I believe are going to be destroyed in that Psalm 83 battle, some others. But let me direct you to a passage in, let me see if I can find it here real quick. It's in Isaiah chapter number 19. And I would have a little bit of disagreement because I've read what you're talking about Israel becoming a big, powerful nation after this.
Oh, no, not becoming a big, powerful nation.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood
expanding
that.
Expanding her land.
Yeah, they will expand some land to a degree.
Because they never got all of the land they got.
Yeah, in Isaiah chapter 17, and I misunderstood you there, I think, because I have read where there are some people out there teaching that Israel will win the Psalm 83 battle, and they will become kind of a regional superpower. But Psalm 17 takes that away. Mm-hmm. Psalm 17 is the burden of Damascus, that's Syria, where Damascus is destroyed in one night.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a ruinous heap in one night. That's never happened. Damascus is one of the most, one of the oldest continually occupied cities in history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to destroy an entire city in one night. You can destroy parts of it unless you involve nuclear weapons. But that same chapter also suggests that Israel will be made lean. And my suggestion, my thought from that I take away from this, is that there's going to be a limited nuclear war in the Middle East in the Psalm 83 battle, where Egypt will be destroyed such that the Bible says that the Egyptians will be forced to leave their country for 40 years. And also, people won't live in Baghdad or in Babylon, and people won't live in Damascus. And there's some other areas listed that would correspond to around Lebanon and parts of Jordan and places like that. And at the same time, Israel made lean, hurt badly but surviving, that might suggest that another thing that we see in Ezekiel chapter 38 is that when they go to invade Israel, it's a land of unwalled villages and cities. Without walls or gates.
And it's not unwalled right
Yeah,
now.
And I think that this would set the stage for the Antichrist to come to power, that there'll be a worldwide ban on using nuclear weapons to prevent another regional nuclear war, and that Israel would be willing to rely upon somebody who could promise them peace and security.
Okay, get the article from Lamb and Lion Ministry and maybe talk about it again.
All right, and I appreciate your call tonight, and I actually have a little booklet that you can find at our website, live.maplenoel.us, and it's called The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War, subtitled mm-hmm. Setting the Stage for the Rise of the Antichrist and the mm-hmm. Coming Ezekiel 38 Invasion of Israel. Hey, I'm out of time tonight. Thank you for the call, and thank you, everybody, for listening tonight. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.